the sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star. Weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that holds me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Swinton. That's what I was trying to say. You just couldn't hear me. And thank God that we serve a risen Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Mark chapter 3, if you would, please. Mark 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mark chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now, if you are keeping up with us on our Wednesday night Bible studies, we've been studying about the Savior and his sheep. One of the subjects that we've been investigating here these last couple of weeks has been what causes sheep to scatter. We learned last week that one of the things that causes sheep to scatter are influences from the outside. Things trying to pull the sheep across the fence line to get out of its boundaries into an area that's unknown to them, that's unsafe to them, and what happens, they become susceptible to predators. And so we learned that there is an influence from the outside. We talked a little bit last week about how curious, living the curious life, how curious sheep are, wondering, well, I wonder why things are like that over there. Wonder why there's so many people going over there. Well, let me remind you about something, okay? Jesus talked about eternal life. Here's what he said about eternal life. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that go in thereat. So not always is the broad way the right way. And just because something there might have a larger attendance or larger population doesn't mean they have the truth. If that's the case, then the Cowboys have the truth. Okay? They pack it out every week. So just because there's a large crowd doesn't mean there's truth being spoken there. So always keep that in mind. Are you there in Mark chapter 3? Let's begin reading in verse 24. Would you stand with me? We're going to read two verses, Mark 3, 24 and 25. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Church, I want to speak to you tonight about the scatter, what scatters the sheep, and the scattering calls from inside the flock. Last week, we looked at what causes sheep to scatter from outside the flock. Now we're going to look at today about what causes sheep to scatter from inside the flock. Mark 3, verse 24, Jesus speaking says, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." The last time I checked in the scripture, I believe the church sometimes is called the house of God, is it not? Now, can I say that if the church or the house of God be divided, that church cannot stand? It cannot stand as a testimony. It cannot stand as a lighthouse. It cannot stand as a mission center of the gospel around the world. That's the reason, church, we must guard the flock from the inside. You know, a lot of times we're real cautious about things from the outside. Listen, we need to look at what's going on the inside also, because the sheep can be scattered from the inside as well. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 25. Paul, writing here to the church at Corinth, talks about divisions within the church, and he makes a statement. For sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse in verse 25. He says that there should be no schism or opposition or differences or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Did you see that last part? It says that the members, the flock, the sheep, should have the same care one for another. In other words, sheep ought to stay flocked up, right? Because if they separate themselves away from the group, many times they become very susceptible to predators. So tonight we're going to be, our study is on what causes sheep to scatter from the inside of the flock. Father, meet now with us, we pray, for the moments that we have. And we just simply ask that you teach us, Holy Ghost of God, from the Bible. And we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory and the honor for all the things that shall be accomplished tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now, last week, church, I mentioned a man by the name of Demas. Now, if you remember, Paul said that it was very evident what drew him away from the flock. Something from the outside drew him away. Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." In other words, something drew him away from the outside. Something enticing, something luring, pulled Demas away, and we never hear about Demas much at all anymore. Now, church, tonight I want to speak to you about one of the truths that we've learned about sheep. And that is, they lend themselves to turn on one another from time to time. Now, the thing about it is, you wouldn't think that a sheep would turn on a sheep. But, you know, that happens. And remember, we talked about that one of the things that usually causes that is usually a dominant attitude. Many times, sheep are looking for a pecking order. In other words, they want to have, in their area, they want, or that flock, or that ministry, or whatever it means, they want to be the dominant sheep. They want to be the one that all the other sheep answer to. In other words, they want to be the big lamb chop in that flock. And so, you know what they may do? They may wrestle with one another, chew on one another's ear, peck at one another, but they're looking for dominance. Sheep also have a nature. And that nature is, they likewise like to be the one in control. You know, folks, if we don't watch ourselves, we can find ourselves trying to control not only things, but people. And the only thing that needs to be controlled, that people need to be controlled by, is by the Spirit of God. I've often found out that when people feel they're trying to be controlled by somebody else or made to do something that they don't want to do, they resist. Now, what I'm saying tonight, church, is many times inside the flock, sometimes sheep turn on each other. They start chewing on each other's ear. They start headbutting each other. They start trying to find that pecking order or that control or that dominance in a place of ministry. I want to show you tonight and use an illustration tonight about this, and you're going to find it in the little book of 3 John. Would you turn there with me, if you would, please? The book of 3 John. And I want you to look in verse number 9. Now, John is writing this epistle, and he's writing it to a group of believers, a church, and obviously, within this group of believers, within this particular flock, a certain guy, a certain individual decided that he felt that he wanted to try to exert his authority, by the way, which he had none in the church, but he wanted to try to exert that authority. I want you to look at it, if you would. John says, I wrote unto the church, verse 9, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, that's the sheep, that's the flock, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, John says, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now let me give you the scene right here. Okay, we're getting that mental picture of a flock of sheep. And you have one sheep that wants to be the dominant sheep in the flock. So what he starts doing is he starts putting pressure on people. He starts trying to get people to look at things from his perspective. Now I want you to notice something important about this particular guy, because he was trying to draw the other sheep's attention away from the shepherd. And so when he tried to start doing that, did you notice some of the things that he did and got involved in? The ultimate thing was he began to push people out of the flock. In other words, he started running people away and running people off from the church. Hey, folks, last time I checked, we're supposed to be trying to get people in, not trying to run them off. You see, the thing about it is, a little lamb that's born into a flock, they don't know everything about the adult sheep. They don't know anything about the various things that an adult would. Can I remind you, church, that new converts and new believers, give them a break. They don't know everything. They're trying to learn. They're trying to figure out what it means to be a sheep. They're just a little lamb. And they're defenseless. They don't know anything. Why do you want to go headbutt them? Why do you want to chew on their ear? Folks, we're supposed to be trying to nurture the sheep and help them get educated in the Word of God. You see, Diotrephes became a scatterer of the sheep. And it seems to be that his major problem was he was either a control freak or he was swelled up with pride. Now, one of those was his problem. Now, folks, let me tell you something. A person that gets consumed with pride can be some of the most vicious people I've ever seen in my life. And it, by the way, listen to me, and it doesn't matter whether they're saved or lost. Pride is a wicked, violent, vicious sin, and many times it doesn't care about people's feelings, it doesn't care about people's position, it doesn't care about anything. All pride wants to do is to be dominant and have preeminence, and that was Diotrephes' problem. Hey, listen, he wasn't a shepherd. There's no place in Scripture we see that where he went to any kind of formal education, to be educated, to be giving people orders, or trying to take preeminence or lead. Nowhere do we find in the Bible this guy was called to the ministry. But he felt that because maybe he had, I don't know, maybe he had a little money in his pocket. It's amazing what money will do to people, right? All of a sudden, isn't it amazing when people get a little bit of money in their pocket, all of a sudden they think they're smart? And that they know more than the preacher knows? Oh, listen, and sometimes they think they know more than God knows. Because, by the way, the reason they know more than God knows is because when you get money, don't you know you don't need church no more? Well, why do I need that? I got money. Why do I need that? I got a nice home. What do I need that? I've got all these possessions. Look how blessed I am. God said, yeah, and I can take all that away just like that. Yeah, you didn't get it by your own power. You didn't get it by your own might. He said, I gave you the breath so that you could work, so that you could get that, so that the money could be a tool to give back through the church to reach people around the world, and you're starting to keep it. He said, listen, I gave it to you. I can take it right away from you. You see, Diotrephes was that kind of guy. I don't know if he had money. I don't know if he's a successful businessman. I don't know who he was. But I know this. He was way out of line. And some of the things that he was doing in the church, among the flock, he was running people off. Did you notice in verse number 10, he was casting them out of the church? He was kicking people out. Hey, if they didn't see things like he kicked them out. Now the thing about it is John said, I like it because he said, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds. He said, listen, if I ever come, he's going to be mutton. If I ever get there, it's going to be Diotrephes lamb chops. It's what it's going to be. Now listen, folks, sometimes you have to sacrifice the one for the sake of the whole flock. Now, I hope it never has to come to where I have to run somebody off, but I'm going to tell you something. If I got somebody in the church that's hindering the flock, I'm going to run them off, folks. I just want you to know that right up front. Okay? I'm going to run them out for the sake of the flock. Particularly if they're chewing on people's ear and giving them and speaking their ears about false doctrine. Or they're speaking their ears against authority or against leadership. Listen, sometimes you have to sacrifice the one for the sake of the whole flock. And that's what John was saying. He said, if I come, he thinks he's going to cast people out. Wait till I come. There's going to be some casting out, all right. Now, what I want to do for just a few moments that we have tonight, church, is I want to look at some of the things that Diotrephes did from the inside that caused people to leave. That run people off. He, as best that we can tell, he obviously must have been a saved person. It doesn't say that he was a lost man. It just said, obviously, this guy got consumed, was either a control freak or he was prideful. One of those things. But the first thing I want you to look at tonight, if you would, was his attitude and actions toward others. His attitude and his actions toward others. Folks, now I want you to we're going to give the eye test, okay? Tonight, I want everybody, in about 5 seconds, I want you to look around. Just look around. Look around, everybody. All right? Let me ask you something. You different than any of these people? Best I can tell, all right, we're still all sinners saved by grace, right? Hey, best I can tell from the Scripture, we're all sheep. But Diotrephes didn't see it that way. See, he saw something as a more dominant sheep. He saw himself as somebody that had a little bit of superiority. He may have had a little bit of education on his side. He may have had a little bit of money on his side. But his attitude stunk. Can I say something, folks? Can y'all take this okay? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Can I say something? Sometimes our attitude stinks. Listen, you know what? I'm not advocating this. I'm just telling you. You know when a person comes to church with a rotten attitude? It's almost better they just stayed home. Hey, it's almost better that they not even come because I promise you, they're not edifying the flock. They're not helping anyone. You say, man, I got a rotten attitude all the time. I guess the preacher told me to stay home. It's not what I said. What I said was, if you got a bad attitude and you come to church and all you want to do is nitpick people to death, chew on somebody's ear, criticize somebody, gossip. Listen, can you listen to your preacher? Go and stay home that night, okay? Because you're not helping anybody. And you're certainly not going to come and worship. So it's sometimes better that the sheep understand that, listen, Diotrephes had a bad attitude. He seemed to have an authority problem. Not only did he think that he had some authority, seems to me like he was trying to shoot over John's head, wasn't he? Kind of seems to me like he was thinking, you know what? Oh, John, he's not here. Nobody can tell me what to do. Preacher's gone. And so what he started to do, he started manipulating within the flock. He had a bad attitude toward people. He had an authority problem. And folks, listen to me. Do you know some people have authority problems? They just don't want anybody telling them what to do. You know, it's kind of like the old story of the 18-year-old kid. Got out of home, graduated. He said, you know, I'm glad I'm graduated. I'm 18. I'm leaving home and joining the army because I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Now, how smart is that? But, you know, isn't that amazing? How it's like, it's okay. And you've heard me say this, it's okay. We'll go to our job. Come on, help me out now. We'll go to our secular job and the boss will tell us everything that we're supposed to do. And then if we don't do it, he'll cuss us out and we'll go right on the way and never bat an eye. But we'll come to church and what seems like one little thing somebody says or does that all of a sudden, for some reason, they decide to come to church and chew you out that day. Folks, come on now. Do you realize that people sometimes make mistakes? I know that's an innovative idea, but people do make mistakes. People do say things they don't mean or say things ignorantly, not knowing. Come on, let's help each other out now. This Diotrephes had a terrible attitude, and his actions toward other people is rotten. Now, evidently, church, he thought that he could bully the other sheep into submission. Remember, you know the big thing that's going around today? The old cyberbullying? And you know, they're spending thousands and thousands, maybe millions of dollars today in the public school system to study how can we stop bullying. Let me tell you something. I wish I'd had it in my day. Now listen to me. I wasn't very big when I was in school, but I fought all the time. If you don't believe that, ask my parents. I did. I fought all the time. Listen, they didn't know what bullying was until they didn't go to school with us. Hey, I'm telling you, most of us today back that went to school back in that age period, there's no telling where we'd be today. Man, we started bullying. But isn't it amazing? Listen, I'm not advocating somebody picking on somebody. I'm just saying, you know what? Come on, folks, we got to be thick-skinned. Okay? We got to understand that there are people that do make mistakes, and yet Diotrephes had such a bad attitude, he was just going to try to bully the flock. He was going to try to bully them into getting what he wanted. You know what I also found out too, growing up? That usually the bully, he's got a big mouth as long as nobody challenges him. And then all of a sudden when somebody challenges him, he's not so big anymore. I remember I was in the sixth grade. And there was a young man. I mean, I thought I was a bully. This guy was a bully on steroids. I mean, this guy picked on everybody. Now, I wasn't a sweet little thing myself, but this guy picked on everybody. His name was Pete Groves. He lived about five houses down from me. This guy was huge for sixth grade. One day, I saw him picking on somebody, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and take my chances. And I just went on, and listen, I love my dad's in his shed. My dad's 5'6", okay, weighs about 140 pounds. But here's what he told me. He said, son, here's what you need to understand. If you're going to fight, you better hit him first. So all I did is I went over there, and he was picking on this kid. I tapped him right. As soon as he turned around, bow, I hit him right in the mouth. Now the thing about it is I don't remember a whole lot after that. I just remember that I hit him in the mouth. And man, I'm telling you, that kid jumped on me and got, and listen, if they ever get you on the ground, God help your soul. That kid got me on the ground and I mean just pummeled me, man. And but anyway, all I'm saying is, listen, there are bullies out there. But if you don't stand up to them, if you don't just look at them and say, listen, brother, sister, that's not right. You know, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be saying those kind of things around here. You don't need to be calling people. You don't need to be texting people. You don't need to be saying that kind of stuff. Listen, folks, you realize if I said everything I thought, you don't need to be saying everything you think. Hey, listen, he wanted things done in light of his ideas or his expertise in his field. Whatever he was, he wanted everything done the way he wanted it done. Folks, do you realize that you can still get the job done and yet people allow people to do it a little bit different than what the way you do it? And you can still get it done? Everybody don't have to do everything exactly like you do it. Listen, when I go out soul winning, you don't have to witness to somebody exactly the way I do it. You know what? You can still get people born into the kingdom of God and into the family of God as long as you make sure that there are some components that are there in your witness. You don't have to do it exactly the way I do it. Or someone else does it. But that's what Diotrephes did. So what he did, church, is he circumvented leadership to operate under his self-imposed guidelines. He set his own guidelines, and that's what he operated under. Folks, listen, do you realize that every church has to have church policy? Do you realize if there was no organization and no policy, what we would be like? But you know, the amazing thing is some sheep would love to have no policy and love to have no boundaries. The thing about it is, you know what we'd have? We wouldn't have church anymore. We'd have chaos. But that was Diotrephes. His attitude and his actions toward other people was absolutely awful. If you look in verse 9, it says, who loveth. It didn't say he liked it. He loveth to have the preeminence among them, and he received us not. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something, okay? Not just because I'm the preacher. I'm just going to tell you. It doesn't matter whether it's the preacher or who it is. When you're around somebody and they start criticizing leadership, you better get away from them. Okay? You better get away from them. If you're around an employee on your job and they start cutting the boss up and cutting the manager, you better get away from them. Because I'm going to tell you something. I remember in the secular world, one time the overall boss came in, fired the entire staff. You know why? Because nobody would ante up, want to know who was talking about and who was criticizing and stuff. Nobody wanted to rat on anybody, so he said, fine, you're all fired. You see, what I'm saying is, get away from people like that. Get away from them. If they criticize leadership, get away from them, folks. You see, Diotrephes had a bad attitude, and his actions toward others were terrible. The next thing I want you to look at, if you would, look at verse 10. His communication with others was terrible. The way he communicated with people. You know, I'm amazed at what Christian people will say to other Christian people. Now, folks, listen. I really try to work hard, and I know that many of you do too as well. I really try to work hard not offending people or being rude to people. But there's just some people, they don't care. They don't care where they're rude. They don't care where they offend somebody. They don't really care. You know what that is? That's bad communication skills. That's what Diotrephes was. He just didn't care. Look at it. It says, wherefore, if I come, John says, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. Now, I want you to look at this. Prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. Go back and look, if you would, church, for just a moment. He says that he was prating against them with malicious words. You see that word malicious right there? That means to do something or say something, church, with the intent of embarrassing someone or hurting someone. That's what malicious words are. I call them death words. Did you know you can destroy somebody by just some of the things that you say? I've counseled people enough to know that, you know what they'd say? You know what, preacher? I would almost rather somebody slap me in the face than cuss me and criticize me and call me and demean my character. They would rather somebody physically slap them in the face than somebody to verbally abuse them. And folks, listen, that's not Christian. That's not right, and that's not how sheep's supposed to act. You see, usually, a lot of times when this type of thing happens, it usually is done out of anger, frustration, hurt, embarrassment, and then sometimes, church, just out of plain hate. Just plain hate. You see, most times it's done intentionally, but a few times it's done unintentionally, without the thought of how it reflects on people. Have you ever made a decision or said something and you never thought it through about how it was going to reflect on somebody? You ever done something and you just never thought it through enough to realize how it was going to reflect on an individual? You know, folks, think about the things that we do, the things that we say. What we've got to do is we've got to think of how is it going to reflect on someone else? How is it going to reflect on... Let me say something to our young people here. You know, a lot of times young people, because I was one at one time, a lot of times young people, we do a lot of stupid things and we say a lot of stupid things. But can I ask you to do something? I want to challenge you as the preacher. Challenge before you say something or do something,
think about how it reflects on your parents. Because do you realize that they do a lot of things and they think about how it's going to reflect on you? They think about what light it's going to put you in. Think about how it's going to reflect on your parents before you say something and do something. Church member, can I say this to you? Think about what you say, what you do before you do it. Think about how it's going to reflect on the flock and the people. We've got to use wisdom. And Diotrephes was using malicious words, and he was embarrassing people, and he was hurting people. We need to think about how it's going to reflect on Christ, first of all. You know, everything that we say and everything that we do, we're going to come into accountability for. Think about how is it going to reflect on Christ? How is it going to reflect on your church? How is it going to reflect on your character? And then notice that the Scripture used the word prating. He said he was not only used malicious words, but he was prating against us. That means foolish talk with no positive purpose in mind. Listen, today they call it trash talking. That's what they call it today. You ever been around a trash talker? You can only take so much, right? You know, it takes so much of somebody that doesn't do anything but talk garbage. Now, folks, listen. When sheep start talking garbage, somebody needs to go in and clean it up. You know, sometimes it's better if the sheep clean it up than the shepherd does, because the shepherd may put them in the freezer. But you know what those sheep may do? The sheep may talk them back into, hey, what? Now, we don't want to be doing that now. We like peace around this flock. We like contentment around this flock. Because if you keep this up, the shepherd's going to have you in the deep freeze for long. So the sheep sometimes do a better job at helping manage the flock sometimes than the shepherd does. Because can I say something? The shepherd a lot of times is up on the hillside watching, where the sheep many times are among each other all the time. Constantly. He said that Diotrephes used malicious words. He was always prating against the flock. In other words, speaking foolishly, trash talking. Other terms the Bible uses for that: gossip, backbiting, criticism, busybody, meddling, false accusing. Can I ask you, out of that list I read, what positive is there? What edification is there for the sheep in that? There's none. The Bible condemns that kind of operation, that kind of talk among believers. So think about this. The two things that we've looked at Diotrephes' attitude, it stunk. His attitude and his actions toward other people were not right. His communication skills were not right. Can I stop before I give you the last thing here and just say this? Folks, sometimes people say things and they really do mean well. They just don't have all the facts. Now, let me say on both sides of that fence for a second. If you don't have all the facts, it might be better you not say nothing at all. Okay? But sometimes, folks, people do speak not having all the facts. Now, I doubt very seriously when they left the house that day, they thought, you know what? I'm going to church tonight, and I'm going to point out Anne-Marie when I'm just going to just let her have it. Now, I doubt very seriously they thought that. But they don't know all the things that Anne-Marie might be facing. Now, they may have heard by prayer request or something, and they may go to her and say something without all the facts. Now, the thing about it is, folks, here's what you got to do as sheep. You got to give people a margin of error. Okay? And the way you handle that is don't say, don't talk to me like that. The way you handle that is, no, that's not it at all. You don't have all the facts. Okay? And I tell you what, I really don't have time to talk about that right now, but if you'll call me, I'll tell you all the facts. Okay? That's how you handle that. Yeah, you don't, listen, you know, a bully that comes up, the first thing you do, you don't jump on and try to chew his right ear off. What you do is you say, listen, you know what? Bullying's not of God. It's not of Christ. See, Diotrephes didn't have a good attitude. His actions were terrible. His communication skills were bad. And then let me say one last thing. One last problem he had was this. He had an open disagreement with policy. He openly disagreed. Listen, he didn't keep it to himself, folks. Did you notice? He made how he felt very public. He didn't agree with policy. Look at it in verse number 10. Look at what it says. It says that he prated against us with malicious words. Listen, here it is. And not content therewith. neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Obviously, this guy had a very, very difficult time with authority, and he just wasn't content with policy. He just was not content on maybe how things set up. Maybe he wasn't content on the methods that John had set up for the church to operate by. Maybe he wasn't content with having to sign commitment forms and screening forms. Amen. Maybe he wasn't content with that. Maybe he went around telling the other sheep, I just don't understand why we got to do this. I just don't understand. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to follow these guidelines? Why do we have to sign this commitment? Well, you'll find out one day if we ever get in trouble. Now, here's the thing. Here's what you got to keep in mind. Normally what happens is the people who cause the most problems in the flock are usually the people who give the least. Now, I want you to listen to me. Policy never means anything until you get in trouble. Then once you get in trouble, then you go looking, okay, don't we have some kind of policy around here against this? Yeah. You just never signed off on it. You see, what I'm saying is, folks, this. A lot of people, here's their way to answer problems. That if they get in trouble or something happens, their answer is run. That's their answer. And yet we need to face the problems. We need to understand that problems are going to come, and Diotrephes just seemed to have a disagreement with church policy. He wasn't content maybe with the church policy or direction. Maybe he was vocal and opinionated about the direction or methods or the ideology of ministry. But the best I can tell, church, he had no formal training. He had no experience to be making these decisions and demanding these changes. He had no authority. So you know what? When you have a bully sheep that tries to control people and is moving around the flock, whispering in other sheep's ear, let me tell you what you ought to do, flock. You ought to gang up against that one. All right? And go to that one and say, listen, this ain't right. And then what you ought to do is you ought to say, now listen, we can settle this right now. Settle the differences or whatever. What's your beef? What's your deal? By the way, deacons, you know, that's what deacons ought to do too. If there's a problem, hey, go and say, listen, what's the deal here? Okay, come on, what are you disgruntled about? Because if we don't settle this right here, we're going to have to go to the shepherd. Okay, and if we go to the shepherd, then we're going to have to make this public if we have to. Now, I don't want to, so we can settle this right here. But Diotrephes was against policy. And by the way, did you notice that everything he did was public? So what did John have to do? He had to deal with it publicly, right? For the sake of the whole flock. That's the reason he said, if I come, I will remember. So Diotrephes chose to deal with situations publicly, so John had to deal with it publicly. Now let me finish up, church, and say this. It's been my experience, again, that those sheep who cause the most unrest, the most problems, that normally gossip, criticize, condemn, accuse, meddle, backbiting, are normally sheep that contribute the least to the overall ministry of the church. Their involvement with the flock or the shepherd's care gives them plenty of time to critique what they would do if they were watching the flock. But the problem is, God didn't give them that authority. And boy, I tell you, isn't it amazing how some... Have you ever taken a job and looked at a job and thought, man, you know what? Anybody can do that. Right? Yeah, look at that guy. He's making the big bucks. Anybody can do that. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you go trade with him one day? Yeah, go to the CEO of your company and say, listen, anybody can do your job. Let me do it for one day. Let me show you how this thing's supposed to be run. You know what he's going to say? Be my guest. And see if you can run this company, a worldwide enterprise, in one day. You see, most people have no idea what other people are going through. Now, they think they do. And they think, you know what? I can run that bus better. I can teach that class better. I can do this better. I can do that better. I tell you what, well, then why don't you volunteer and let's give it a shot. And let's see if you can. Now, if you can, glory to God, as long as you're willing to sign all the forms, I'm for you. But let's try it out. But folks, until you've walked in another person's shoes, the best thing for us to do is just keep our mouth closed. You know, doctor feast, he just pride problem. Just control problem. But the thing about it is, he ran people away from the church. And the thing about it is, we need to examine ourselves tonight. How many people are we getting into the church compared to how many people are running off? Amen. Think about that for a bit. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it? I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've been born into the family of God. Just slip it up way up high, way up, way up, way up. All right, one.